With WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is demanding the U.S. Department of Education immediately release impact aid. As WXPR reported last week, about 20 rural school districts in the state rely on the federal funding, including Crandon, Wabino, Lac-Flambeau, and Lakeland Union. Impact aid is available to districts that have certain types of federally owned land, giving those districts a smaller tax base. October payments for impact aid have been delayed because of the shutdown and firings in the Department of Education. The Menominee Indian School District also receives impact aid. Superintendent Marcus Denny says the program funds cover about 40% of their budget.
So that's impacted our budget big time. We've had to move around a lot of funds from our general fund. We had to seek a line of credit with our bank to help meet operational needs. It's impacted us heavily.
Evers sent a letter to the education secretary demanding the funds be released, saying the department has provided no guidance or timeline to school districts about when they'll see the payments. He also stated that the delay seems to be completely unnecessary and entirely self-inflicted by the Trump administration. A Wisconsin man accused of trying to burn down a congressman's office earlier this year because he was upset over the federal TikTok ban has pleaded no contest to felony arson. Online court records indicate 20-year-old Caden Stackowitz of Menasha entered the plea in Fond du Lac County Circuit Court on Monday. Prosecutors agreed to drop burglary and property damage charges in exchange for the plea. He faces up to 25 years in prison when he's sentenced March 5th. Email and voice messages were left for his attorney. According to court documents, Stackowitz set fire to Republican U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman's Fond du Lac office in January, telling investigators he wanted to burn the building down because Gotham voted to shut TikTok down. States have taken different approaches to messaging about SNAP delays as the government shutdown continues. In some cases, that looks like partisan finger-pointing on government-run websites. Harvest Public Media's Molly Ashford reports.
Nebraska's Health and Human Services website displays a message from the governor blaming Democrats for the shutdown. In Illinois, a message on a state website says President Donald Trump and Republicans are to blame. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture homepage says Democrats shut down the government to give, quote, healthcare to illegals. Richard Painter, a law professor at the University of Minnesota, says some of that language could run afoul of federal anti-lobbying laws.
We're not paying taxpayer money to give to agencies to turn around and then put pressure on Congress. We're not paying for lobbying firms. For PR machine, we're paying for services.
Some states also have laws to prohibit the use of state resources to promote political causes. I'm Molly Ashford, Harvest Public Media.
Feed Our Rural Kids and the Northwoods Children Museum in Eel River are working together to ensure children have food. The museum is the location of one of Fork's 12 pantries. The pantries are typically a couple of shelves that are regularly stocked by volunteers. There's no registration or requirements to take food from them. Most of the Fork pantries are in schools or community centers. Perry Pokrant is the Fork president.
What it does is it just provides different hours than the school is available or that the Saner community building is available or wherever, you know, that our other pantries are, and provides choices and we'll call it convenience.
To celebrate the opening of this pantry, the Children's Museum is offering a carton of Kemp's chocolate milk. The donation of that milk was made possible through Kemp's Giving Cow program and Triggs Food and Drug in Eagle River.
And even if you don't go to the Children's Museum in terms of paying for entry, you can simply step into the Fork Pantry and grab a chocolate milk or whatever your family may need.
Pokrant encourages anyone in need to use their pantries located throughout Vilas and Oneida counties. WXPR has also created a resource guide for people needing food or those looking to help. You can find it on our homepage at WXPR.org. Residents of Michigan towns bordering Indiana and Wisconsin voted last week to limit or ban marijuana shops. Nearly 6 in 10 voters in Niles Township on the border with Indiana voted to prohibit any cannabis stores from opening there. And nearly 8 in 10 voters in Menominee along the Wisconsin border voted to limit the number of cannabis stores to 9. Two stores say they have city approval to receive the 9th license. Stores in the border towns can sometimes draw hundreds of customers a day from states where marijuana remains illegal. There are more than 850 cannabis stores in Michigan, but there are more concentrated in border towns. As the nation honors its heroes this Veterans Day, one Michigan veteran says the best way to thank those who served is by helping them rediscover their sense of purpose long after their uniform comes off. Crystal Blair reports.
According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, more than 6,400 veterans died by suicide in 2022. That's roughly 17 every day. Joshua Parrish is an Iraq war veteran and CEO and co-founder of a nonprofit in Brighton called VetLife.
When you leave the military, you lose a sense of purpose, you lose a sense of identity, and you lose your tribe, really, is what it boils down to.
Parrish added that when veterans lose their sense of purpose and identity, they often struggle to be the best version of themselves, leading to both mental and physical health challenges. He says that realization inspired him to create VetLife, which helps veterans before they reach a crisis point. Crystal Blair reporting.
And this is Katie Thorson with WXPR, Local Public Radio.